Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC. And so most of these sermons are from me.
In those...
Today, we dedicate parents and the congregation to the nurture of young lives in the church. We celebrate the life of Samantha Gail Witherspoon, daughter of Lauren and Ben Witherspoon, and little sister to Ben and Elizabeth. Jesus said, "I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles themselves like this child, they are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus, through his example, taught adults to love children, and the church must do the same. We will love this child through affirmation, kindness, warm words, accepting arms, example, and patience. Parents are the key, and the rest of us are called to help them in giving to their children what they cannot. People of University Christian Church, do you promise to live so that Samantha knows that she is loved by God and her church? And do you promise to welcome her with open arms and hearts into our community of faith? If so, please say, with God's help, we will. We will.
Samantha comes on this day with lots of family and friends. I would simply invite you to stand right where you are, please. And I would ask in this moment, will you give yourself to the nurture and to the growth and to the love of this child? And will you support her parents as they strive to give the very best to their children? If so, please say, with the help of God, we will. Thank you. You may be seated. And moms, mom and dad, will you give the very best of your life to Samantha by loving and leading her to the love of Christ, first and foremost by example? And will you allow the community of faith to support you in prayer and in loving your child in ways beyond your reach? If so, please say, with the help of God, we will. And Ben and Elizabeth, I know that you will promise to be a wonderful big sister to beautiful Samantha. Am I right? Yeah, all right. So tell me again, what is the name of this beautiful child?
Samantha
Gail Witherspoon. She's been waiting for this day all week. Come go with me, family. Church, I want you to meet Samantha. Now, if you are a parent or have ever been a parent, you know that sometimes being a parent can be a little stressful. Oh, don't cry when I say that. Oh, sorry, sweetie. Look, there they are. Okay, why don't you go back to mom? Oh, there we go. It's because I said that about her being stressful, isn't it? She took it personally. Not you, sweetheart, but the rest of them. But it's true, though, isn't it, that being a parent is incredibly stressful and anxious. I know that every morning when I drop off my daughters at school, I am filled with fear and worry of what could happen to them on that day. And now, as one of them is driving, I'm filled with even more fear and more worry. You know, it's not unlike the world in which Jesus was born. A time of fear and worry and anxiety, but at the same time, notice what God does in that moment. God doesn't come in with authority, with putting more boots on the ground, not more violence, but instead God has a baby be born. And in that child is the promise of hope.
is the promise of a beloved future. That is what we remember on this day as we dedicate ourselves to the life of Samantha and her beautiful family. You good now? All right. Church, will you stand, please, right where you are, and just turn and face this family as you offer to them the very best of who you are, to promise to support them and to love them in the midst of the fear and in the midst of the anxiety, and to show our love and support to them. And let us pray together. And now, Samantha, may God bless your mind that you might think while being a person of faith. May God bless your ears that you might hear the cry of the poor and the downtrodden. May God bless your eyes that you might see the good in every person. And may God bless your hands that you might embrace others in love as well as be embraced by their love. And may God bless your feet that you might be quick to run to serve God in the common and in the everyday moments of life. Together, this is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are making our way through the season of Advent, this time of waiting, of preparing our hearts and our homes, by looking at the story of the angels that appear in the story of Jesus' birth. And one of the things that we've pointed out is that in many ways, these angels would have been very comfortable in our world of tweets and hashtags. Their messages were often short and to the point, much shorter than the 280 characters allowed by Twitter, but their favorite line, the one that began almost every interaction, "Do not be afraid." I would propose that that is indeed an important message for those of us who live in what is oftentimes referred to as a culture of fear. Fear, in many ways, is the air that we breathe, isn't it? Think about it. Parker Palmer once said, "We subscribe to religions that exploit our dread of death. We do business in an economy of fear driven by consumer worries about keeping up with the Joneses. We practice a politic of fear," he says, "in which candidates are elected by playing on voters' anxieties about race and class and terrorism." And so we're looking at these stories of the winged messengers, and we're thinking about ways in which we can be messengers in the same way as people of faith, that we can counteract this culture of fear by bringing in more hope, more peace, more joy, more love into this world. This morning as I was driving to church, I was listening to my new favorite Christmas album. It's an album by Nicole Nordeman, who we hosted along with Jen Hatmaker back in the spring. And her new Christmas album is simply called Fragile, and there's a one song that moves me every time. It's called Maybe. And the line that moved me this morning was this: "If the world wants more peace for Christmas, could it not begin with us? Maybe love is bigger, maybe love is stronger, maybe just for Christmas. Who knows, maybe longer." Where we pick up the story this morning, we encounter Mary, who is the cousin of Elizabeth, who we met last week. Mary is a young girl in a town called Nazareth, and she is also visited by the same messenger, the same angel Gabriel, that visited Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, last week. We call this event that you're about to hear the Annunciation, and it has been the subject of countless works of art, both music and paintings, of artists and musicians for thousands of years who recognize the importance of this story and recognize that it's not just an important story for what it tells us about Mary, but also what it tells us about God's ways in this world, but also about our response to God's movement in this world. And so I invite you, church, to hear these words from Luke chapter 1. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name, Mary. And upon entering, Gabriel greeted her.
Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you."
and she was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like this, but the angel reassured her.
Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. Great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will be given to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.
How can this be, since I am a virgin?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God.
Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.
And then the angel departed from her.
Mary arose and quickly went into the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She spoke out with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Indeed, as soon as the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a completion to those things which were told to her by the Lord.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit celebrates God, my liberator. For though I'm God's humble servant, God has noticed me. Now and forever, I will be considered blessed by all generations. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is God's name. From generation to generation, divine loving kindness endures for those who revere God. God's arm has accomplished mighty deeds. The proud in mind and heart, God has sent away in disarray. The rulers from their high positions of power, God has brought down low. And those who were humble and lowly, God has elevated with dignity. The hungry, God has filled with fine food. The rich, God has dismissed with nothing in their hands. To Israel, God's servant, God has given help as promised to our ancestors, remembering Abraham and his descendants in mercy forever.
Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months and then went back to her own home. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? God, we pray that you would give us the ability to hear your words so that in hearing we might understand. And in understanding we might be able to apply it to our lives, so that it might shape us into becoming even more like the people that you create and call us to be. This is our prayer together. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Do not be afraid, Mary, the angel said, for God has looked with favor upon you. In this moment, on this day, in this holy and sacred place, is there a place in your life where you long to hear the words of the angel, where you need to hear the voice of a heavenly angel? Is there a place in the midst of you needing needing those words, do not be afraid. For God has found favor with you. I always find it interesting that the Christmas story begins in Nazareth. Now, if you were to go there today, you would notice that this is a relatively sprawling city. It's a popular destination for travelers to the Holy Land, but it wasn't that way in those times. In those days, it was a tiny, insignificant little town. It didn't show up on any maps. It was never once mentioned in the Talmud. The first century historian, Josephus, never mentioned the small town. It was estimated that the population was somewhere between 100 and 400, but other scholars think that since it was never mentioned, it's never pointed out, that it was probably even smaller than that. There was a larger city, though, not too far from that, a city called Sepphoris, about 30,000 people. And Sepphoris was an affluent city. It had a culture, it had shopping, it had all the other things that you would expect in a prosperous town. But Nazareth, though, that was the other side of the tracks. It had none of that. In fact, it was likely a town of farmers and shepherds and laborers. My mom was raised in a small town in the Texas Panhandle called Claude, just outside of Amarillo. It's about 400 people. And I will say this about Claude, that it is about as exciting as the name suggests. It has one stoplight, and it's always green. It doesn't have any restaurants, it doesn't have any nightlife, it doesn't even have a grocery store. But what it does have is good, honest, hardworking people. People that are genuine and simple. And so every time I hear Nazareth, any time I picture Mary, I envision Claude as Mary's hometown. I always wonder what it tells us about this story. It takes place not in Sepphoris among the wealthy people, the elite, the educated, but instead amongst the people of Nazareth. Simple, working class folks. And not only that, but why Mary? Why, of all people, a teenager, a peasant girl? But think about it. Don't we see over and over again in Scripture that God constantly looks for the humble, for the people that have a heart of God, those without pretense, those to give of themselves fully and completely? And doesn't God over and over and over choose them to be messengers? Throughout the story of Scripture, we see this idea of ordinary people doing extraordinary things, that God does some of God's best work through some of the most unlikely of characters. Think about it. Abraham and Sarah, this elderly couple that up until their 80s didn't have any children, yet God chooses them to bring forth the chosen people. Moses, this fugitive, this man that stuttered, that tended sheep, he's the one that God chooses to be the lawgiver, the one to deliver God's people out of bondage and slavery. David, this shepherd boy, Jesse's youngest, scrawniest son, would go to become Israel's greatest king. And think about the disciples. Even the disciples, they weren't seminary trained. They didn't have a doctorate in theology. They were fishermen, tax collectors, other unlikely candidates. And again, here, God chooses Mary, this peasant girl from a nowhere town, and God chooses her to bear the Messiah, to bring salvation into the world. In the Catholic Church, they refer to her as Theotokos, the Mother of God, sometimes referred to as the God-bearer, because she was the one, this humble peasant girl, to bring God into the world. Keep in mind, she was probably a girl of 13, maybe 14, although a more mature 13-year-old girl than we might expect. That was the age when young women got married in the ancient Near East. And we're told earlier in the story that she was engaged to be married, so we can assume she was around that age. But mature or not, she was no better prepared than you or I might be if we were visited by an angel. And keep in mind, too, that this messenger brings this good news that probably didn't sound all that good in that moment. We can only assume, we can only imagine that she was not rejoicing at this good news. She must have been terrified. Keep in mind, too, that being pregnant out of wedlock at that time was punishable by death. And not just any death. They would drag you into the city square and stone you to death in front of the entire community. "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel says. "I bring good news." So she sat wondering how this good news was going to be received by Joseph, by her parents. I also find it, not only that this story takes place in Nazareth with this peasant girl, but I also find it interesting that soon after this encounter with Gabriel, right after she hears this news, Mary runs as fast as she can to see her friend Elizabeth. Now, we envision that it's right around the corner, but Ein Kerem, where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived, was about 80 miles away. It would have taken her 9 days to make this journey. But yet she goes with haste, it says, and she runs to see Elizabeth. The text leads us to believe that they're cousins, and that may be true, but what is absolutely certain is that these women have this very special bond. Maybe you have someone like that who, when something happens in your life, that is the first person that you want to reach out and tell, to share that news, either good or bad. That is the person that you can't wait to share it with. Madeleine L'Engle, the great author, wrote a book a number of years ago called Circle of Quiet, in which she speaks of her friends of the right hand. By that, she means friends that she could no more do without than she could an actual physical part of ourselves. Friends of the right hand, she says, are those who have made me know who I am, who bear with me, who pick me up when I fall down, literally and figuratively. Do you have a person like that in your life? Someone that you can go to and tell anything. And to know in that moment that you will be received with grace and not with judgment. Do you have someone like that in your life? I truly hope and pray that you do. But I have a friend who's a pastoral counselor, and he almost always asks them in the midst of crisis if they have someone in their life, someone like that, that they can go to, anyone, maybe even just one person, that they can be completely honest with, that they can confide in and know that they would be welcomed and received with grace. And what he's shared with me is that 80 to 90% of the people that find themselves in his office don't have anyone like that in their life. The greatest poverty in the world, Mother Teresa once said, is loneliness. And sometimes we know that to be true. I once heard the definition of a true friend as someone who knows the song in your heart and can sing it back to you when you've forgotten the words. I love that image. And Mary and Elizabeth, they had that kind of relationship, and so it makes perfect sense, right? That's exactly where she would turn in this situation, to help her find her voice, to help her gain perspective on what she was facing, someone that she could trust, would listen without judgment, someone that would believe in her, someone that would believe her, someone that would encourage her and help her regain her faith, her strength, help her recapture her song. So what about you? Who is your Elizabeth? Who is that person who helps you make sense of the world, who will listen to you and not try to fix you or heal you or change you, but just simply welcome you with grace, with understanding, with love, who will treat you as you are, not as you think you should be? You know, it's important to have people like that. I read recently that in the United States that we are daily bombarded with over 10,000 different marketing messages and advertising messages telling us who to be and how to be. Think about that. 10,000 different messages suggesting that we aren't good enough, that we aren't smart enough, that we aren't worth enough, that we don't have enough. And so in many ways, that has become the voice of the human condition in our generation. And as a result of that, we are, by and large, anxiety-ridden creatures. And I would also argue that that becomes even more magnified, even more amplified this time of year in the midst of all that goes on, with even more messages and more commercials telling us what we need. And as a result of that, we worry, and we stress, and we get anxious. At least I do. Tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm alone in that. You see, we all have those tapes that we play, right? Those messages that we have heard at some point in our lives. Those things that we tend to get repeated over and over and over again. Tapes that say to us that we're not enough, that we're not spiritual enough, we're not righteous enough, we're not loving enough, we're not wealthy enough. We get messages all the time that tell us that we continue to fall short, and so we listen to those messages. The ones that are on repeat, they seem to be on that continual loop that just plays in the back of our mind. And as a result of that, we have a way of holding on to things, to letting our fears, our worries, our stress, it just sort of owns us. And somehow it lets our failures follow us wherever we go. It allows our shortcomings to define how we see the world, or at least how we see ourselves in that world. And so as a result, we have a difficult time trusting God. We have a difficult time trusting good news to be actually true, let alone good. You see, that's why we need one another, why we need places like this, places that we can come to be reminded of that all things are possible with God, to help us trust the narrative that God is still at work in the world, that God is still at work in us, to remind us that our lives matter, that we are enough. Because in the midst of the dark days, when we're afraid, when life overwhelms us, when it takes us by surprise, when we can't get that voice out of the back of our head, we need voices that speak to our fear, that bolster our faith, that help us to remember the song in our own hearts. You know, the truth is that we can endure very little without the support of friends and neighbors, family members. And I recognize that sometimes it can be scary to open up, to allow ourselves to become vulnerable. But what we discover when we do is that it's so much easier to carry the weight of our own burdens when we share it than rather than try to carry it all ourselves. You see, in those moments we discover people, we discover angelic messengers, whether we call that or not. People who, in those moments, when it all seems too much to bear, that we can't find hope within ourselves to trust that others are hoping for us, that they are standing with us in the midst of our deepest, darkest days, saying, "You will get through this. All is not lost." Take just a moment, if you would, and just sort of look around. In this moment, look around at the people that are sitting near you. People sitting around you, maybe people sitting behind you. And what I want you to know, church, is that there are angels among you. You are surrounded right now in this place by a people who love you, who accept you as you are, people that are here for you, messengers of grace who will, when you need it the most, remind you of who you are, of where you come from, of where you belong. People who will gracefully challenge you to live into who you are called to be. People who will accept you at every stage in the journey. These people, they are messengers. They are angels among us, and they mirror God's love and God's patience and God's grace in our lives. And also, as you look around the people at you, around you, remember too that someone is looking at you. And may you remember that God is calling you to be a messenger of peace in this world, that God is calling you to hope for and with the people around you, the people that need you the most. And God is inviting you, God is calling you to stand with them in the midst of their darkest nights, to remind them of the promises of God, that they are enough, that they are loved, that they are not alone. You see, church, if we want more peace in this world, maybe we should be more peaceful. If we want more love in the world, then maybe we need to be more loving. If we want more hope in the world, then maybe we need to be more hopeful. If we want more joy in the world, then maybe we need to be more joyful. And so hear these words once again. And hear them now, not as directed just towards Mary, but hear them now as directed towards you in this moment. Greetings, favored ones. Do not be afraid, for God has looked with favor upon you, and nothing, nothing is impossible with God.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are or where you come from or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.